Local, newsworthy topics affecting the community. Join our host, Mindy Gould, live at KZHC Studios for Harney County Live right now.
Good morning and welcome, and thank you for tuning in to Harney County Live here on 92.7 KZHC. My guest this morning is Judge Robert Rascio of the Harney County and Grant County Circuit Courts. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fabulous. Thank you so much for coming on.
Well, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. It's been too long.
Yes, it's been. Well, you've got a crazy schedule.
I do have a busy schedule. That is true. I'm the only circuit court judge in Oregon who is by himself and is the primary judge for two counties.
Really?
So we got three judicial districts where there's a single judge, Baker, Lake, and Grant and Harney, but I'm the only one over both. And so I do a lot of driving back and forth between the two counties, you know. Oh. A lot of 140-mile round-trip drives in my life, which is great. Is there anything better than driving through Sylvia's Valley?
Oh, it's beautiful. Winter
except
time?
In February. But even then, it's still a very pretty drive, just a lot slower.
100%. So with that being said, with you being in two different counties, what is your schedule like? I mean, are you week on, week off? How does that work?
No, I don't do it that way. I think that first there's more things on the docket in Harney County. It just has always been my experience that Harney County has more cases, more civil matters, more criminal matters. And so I spend more time here in Harney County than I do in Grant County. Generally speaking, I'm down here two or three times, sometimes four times a week. I was calendared to be down here for four days this week. So I just I go where the casework is. And so my schedule isn't that regular, except I have changed our docket now. So every Monday we're handling primary docket issues. We're resolving criminal cases. We now have a family treatment court, which is always meeting in on Mondays, back and forth between Grant and Harney County, and then taking up any other matters that are sort of need to be dealt with immediately. And I've reserved Mondays for that, and so we don't have trials running into those days. We're just consistently having court, so we're consistently getting matters resolved so that we have resolution for people, which is my primary job.
Yeah, 100%.
Resolve conflicts.
Wow, what a schedule. What a schedule. Well, have you on to talk about jury duty.
Yes.
You know, that's something that a lot of people try to get out of and everything. And honestly, Harney County's jury duty scheduling is different than a lot of other counties.
True. Very true. It is living in small towns has its joys,
mm-hmm.
and then it has its jury duty. We do require, and it's been longstanding, that jurors serve for 3 months at a time. It's just the nature of having, 7,000 people,
mm-hmm.
7,500 people in the entire county, many of whom can't serve because they're too young or have chosen not to after they turn 70. And so there's a pretty significant burden on our citizenry. We have 3 month periods where we don't have any jury trials, and we have 3 month periods where we have six or seven jury trials. And so that's just a question of luck. And how the calendaring works. It is such an important function in our system, jury duty. And we are so grateful to our citizens for showing up and doing the work. I always tell people when I'm first introducing a case at the very end, I say, each of you in this room are a living embodiment of our Sixth Amendment right under the Bill of Rights to a jury trial. And frankly, under Article 1, Section 11 of the Oregon Constitution, without jurors, that right doesn't exist. And so every person who comes and serves as a juror is serving the Constitution and serving their community in a very important function. And so I remain grateful to my jurors, to the people who serve.
Well, essentially, it's kind of like voting. If you think about it, I mean, it's your right as an American to vote. Now it's your right as an American to serve as a juror.
I agree. It's not quite that easy, though, because we do require you to be there.
Yeah.
So you're not required to vote, but you are required to serve on the jury if you're summoned to do so.
Now, like you said, with it being a small community, small county, 7,500 people, people know everybody. I mean, essentially, somehow or another, you know somebody. How does that affect with being on a jury?
Well, knowing somebody isn't enough. I know a lot of people in Harney County. Mm-hmm. I spent a long time practicing here. I'm married to a woman who grew up here. My brother-in-law and sister-in-law are educators here.
Yeah.
My mother-in-law lives here. I've known people here in Harney County for over 20 years and know a lot of people. Just knowing them, though, isn't really the reason why I can or cannot sit on a case. And the same is true for a juror. Just knowing somebody doesn't prevent you from serving as a juror. It really has to be you're a close personal friend. You go over to their house on a regular basis. You spend a lot of time with them in church. You are a cousin. And mm-hmm. boy, do we have a lot of cousins who show up on juries. So excited for that family relationship. those are the things that prevent you from being on a jury, not just that you know the person. If you've known Bill for years and you walk by Bill and say, good morning, Bill, and Bill says, good morning, Jim, that's not enough. Right? It has to be a deeper connection to prevent you from serving on that jury. Because if it was just that you knew somebody, I don't know that we could find 12 people in this county who didn't know somebody, you know, didn't have some type of relationship with somebody who's being either is involved in the case as a party or is, you know, a witness. So.
Wow. Now, when you guys send out the stuff for jury duty, which we'll get into that in just a moment, how many people do you send them to? Monthly or every 3 months?
Every 3 months. We're sending out 400 summonses every 3 months.
And so how does that get dwindled down to, I mean, is it 400 people on for 3 months?
Yeah, they're the people who remain on, and that number gets whittled down quite a bit just based upon people having moved out of the area. We defer people often if they have, if you have a scheduled trip to leave the county for mm-hmm. a couple of weeks to go visit your grandkids, we're not going to require you to show up for jury duty. We're going to defer you off to another 3 month period, like the next time. So mm-hmm. it's every quarter. So we definitely send a lot of people, give a lot of people deferments because we understand that this is a huge obligation to be available for 3 months. So it generally gets dwindled down to about 150 people. We then break them down generally, and this isn't always true, but generally into panels, so that if we have a misdemeanor case, we're generally going to require, about 40 people to show up.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a felony case, 80 people to show up. If it's a civil case with 12, 80 people to show up. So we can start working through the jury panel and figuring out who are going to be the 6 or 12 people who are going to serve on that jury panel. I think that answers your question.
Yes, it does. Well, and speaking of that, before I move on to my next question in regards to the new jury summons, we need to take a quick break from our sponsors. You're listening to Harney County Live here on 92.7 KZHC.
Nope, I got it right here. Directions on my phone.
Recalculating.
Wait, which turn?
Recalculating. Proceed to route. Recalculating.
Which way? Here we go. Oh, look at this place.
You have reached your destination for great prices, friendly service, and quality product.
Well, we're here at 429 Crane Boulevard. It's Ed Stobbinson's. This place is great. Ed Stobbinson's. Energy, community, service.
Obsidian Dave's Rockin' Gem Show is this weekend, June 7th through the 9th in the Hines City Parks. This event sponsors the Hines Volunteer Fire Department. There will be local and traveling Rockin' Gem vendors as well as food vendors and arts and craft vendors filling our parks for 3 fun-filled days.
Don't forget about the Hines Fireman's Pancake Breakfast on Saturday, June 8th, starting at 7 a.m. on West Barnes Avenue. Weather permitting, it will be held in the park. Cost is $10 for adults and $5 for children ages 2 to 12. Under 2, kids eat free. Hope to see you there.
In addition to top-notch services and technology, Harney District Hospital boasts highly trained, licensed medical professionals who are ready to care for you in a friendly, comfortable environment. At Harney District Hospital, you aren't just a number, you are a neighbor receiving quality care from your neighbors. Learn more about the hospital online at harneydh.com. That's harneydh.com. Thank you for choosing Harney District Hospital as your healthcare partner.
And now, more Harney County Live on KZHC.
And welcome back, and thanks for tuning in to Harney County Live here on 92.7 KZHC. My guest this morning is Harney County Circuit Court Judge, Judge Robert Rascio. We were just talking about jury duty right before we took a break and how that kind of works. I do have one other question, though, before we move on to the new jury summons. In that three-month period that you are obligated to serve as a juror or be a part of it, I mean, you can't leave the county at all. I mean, how does
No. You look, you can be excused if you have a doctor's appointment in Bend, or you have a family emergency or just a family party or whatever. And you call us in advance, you say, hey, I need to be over in Portland because something's gone terribly wrong. We're going to let you do that, of course. We're not going to require you to show up. You just need to be in good communication with us. We have really great, hardworking clerks at the courthouse who are more than happy to accommodate. And they're told by me, we're here to serve. We're not here to make you serve. And so we're going to do everything we can to accommodate your schedule.
Now, how does the jury selection work? I mean, is it just get stuck in a pool and pulled out? I mean, how does that work?
In fact, it's like a terrible raffle. I'm just kidding. Look, I make these jokes because I know people think that they're true. But I think serving as a juror is such a great honor. And I think that it's such an opportunity for people to be able to serve the Constitution and serve their community. And, you know, if you ever get lucky enough to serve, you're going to have a very unique experience. It's going to stick with you. It's a part of your life story from that point forward. And I think that I talk to people often who've served on jurors, and they remember it and they think about it. And it was an important moment, you know, not births or, you know, weddings, but certainly something that you remember. And I think it's a great place to create a memory and to be a part of your community. And we don't get to do that enough, to really just be a part of our community.
So, I mean, is it all just like in a computer and it just randomly picks people?
Yeah,
I mean,
I'm sorry, I got
no,
off
no,
track.
No, I totally understand.
What happens is the Oregon Department, the Oregon Judicial Department, has a number of databases that it selects from, driver's licenses, voting, and other records, and they basically pull down a list from all of those different databases they have access to, and they send that list to our clerks each quarter.
Interesting.
Yeah, so, you know, just being a good citizen will get you called.
So it has nothing to do with you guys really here.
No,
you
it's guys part don't of the, pick the... A lot of this stuff happens through the state organization, the Oregon Judicial Department. Which has been an interesting experience for me because, you know, I spent 20 years in private practice. So I was never a state employee.
Mm-hmm.
And so being a state and being involved with the state and the bureaucracy has its pluses and its definitive minuses. I think part of this jury summons process that we're going through right now is really choices that were not made here. We didn't decide to do it this way. I don't think I would have decided to do it this way, but we have it now, and you're getting these things, and I want to make sure you know what they are.
So speaking of that.
So now we used to send you a summons in the mail that was 3 pages in a letter that said, you know, from the Oregon Judicial Department. In fact, on our wedding anniversary, my wife's wedding anniversary, April of 2021, she got a letter with my signature on it, which was a summons to jury duty. And I said, congratulations, happy anniversary. I'm glad I remembered.
Isn't that great? Funny.
So she was pretty thrilled. So we were doing that forever, and now we've started sending out these really, like this postcard, and it's a pretty small postcard, and I don't fault anyone for having looked at this and thrown it in the trash, thinking that it was junk mail, because it just doesn't really have the height and weight that you would expect. Mm-hmm. It does say on the front of it, and frankly, I got to put my glasses on to read it, which I guess is another complaint I have. But you know, here we are.
Context.
Here we are, folks. I mean, we send it to you, and at the very above your address and your name, it says official juror summons. Respond within 10 days, and that is in fact something that you need to do. You do need to respond when you receive this in the mail within 10 days. And the way you respond is on the back of the card. And step one, respond to the summons. It gives you your juror ID number, and you'll have a specially designated juror ID number. And then you also get a juror number, which is different. But your juror ID number is a specially developed, created by a computer. That's your number. And you can reply to the summons, respond to the summons in one of three ways. You can go onto the website and go to www.courts.oregon.gov/24thjury. 24th, we're the 24th Judicial Circuit. And you can go online and respond to the summons there by typing in your pertinent information and answering a one-page questionnaire, which is pretty short. You can also use your camera on your smartphone, and there's a QR code that does work, even though it doesn't look like it should, to pull up a link to the same website. And if for some reason you're running into barriers, or you don't have any of these things, and we live in a place, and I went to a conference recently on legal deserts, which is not having sufficient attorneys in a particular region. And we have very limited internet services around our county. And I've got a map. I mean, over 18% of our population in many parts of Harney County don't have access to the internet. Mm-hmm. Look, don't panic. The phone number's right on here. 541-573-5207. Give us a call and talk to one of my clerks. And just say I'm calling in about, I've been summoned to jury duty, and we'll walk you through each step. So please, you've got three different ways to respond. Respond in the way that's most comfortable to you. And then we have a website that has a jury orientation videos. You're welcome to watch those online, or if you want to, we also do three different jury orientations on a single day where you can come into town and we can play all that stuff for you, and you can ask questions of clerks. So multifaceted ways to respond. Just please do respond, and do know that this official jury summons, respond within 10 days, is not like many of the other forms that you see of this kind.
Exactly.
And you should just know, if you receive any other postcards that are asking you for credit card numbers, social security numbers, or to pay any kind of fines or fees, that is not from us. We never do that. We don't want any of those personal information identifiers. All we want is your juror ID number. So if somebody's trying, if that is happening, please let us know immediately so we can report it to the proper authorities, because it's a scam.
And before we take another quick break, what happens if somebody has thrown that away and they don't realize that, like you said, I mean, it could potentially, if you don't read it over quickly, just toss it in the trash thinking it's spam. What happens if you do not respond?
You'll hear from us again. In a more affirmative way, we'll be contacting you, and you can be summoned to come to court and appear in front of me to determine why you haven't responded. We don't want to do that. I mean, if you have thrown something away, you think you might have had jury duty, just call us right away, please, so we can clarify whether you were on jury duty or not. We'll know immediately. And just please show up. I mean, you're required to, as a matter of citizenship, mm-hmm. To be a member of the jury. If you are 18 to 70, we can talk about the 70-plusers after the break.
Yes. Thank you. Thanks for listening, or not thanks for listening, excuse me. We're going to be taking a quick break from our sponsors, and we'll return in just a moment.
Obsidian Dave's Rock and Gem Show is this weekend, June 7th through the 9th in the Hines City Parks. This event sponsors the Hines Volunteer Fire Department. There will be local and traveling rock and gem vendors, as well as food vendors and arts and craft vendors, filling our parks for three fun-filled days.
Don't forget about the Hines Fireman's Pancake Breakfast on Saturday, June 8th, starting at 7 a.m. on West Barnes Avenue. Weather permitting, it will be held in the park. Cost is $10 for adults and $5 for children ages 2 to 12. Under 2, kids eat free. Hope to see you there.
You don't have to be a doctor, nurse, or medical professional to work at Harney District Hospital. The hospital employs numerous clerks, assistants, cooks, environmental service workers, and more. In addition to competitive wages, all full and part-time positions offer retirement options, as well as medical, dental, vision, life, and emergency air transportation insurance. Join the hospital team today. Find job listings online at jobs.harneydh.com. That's jobs.harneydh.com.
Paying your fuel bill sucks. I get it. Energy and transportation needs are expensive. But you know, there are worse things, like digging a hole by hand, digging an even bigger hole, digging a bigger hole, and hitting the sewer line. Well, at Edstob & Sons, we hope to minimize the pain. We realize how much of a family's budget must be spent on their energy necessities. Give us a call at 573-2622 and ask about products and services to save you money. Edstob & Sons, energy, community, service.
And now, more Harney County Live on KZHC. Here's Mindy Gould.
And welcome back, and thanks for tuning in to Harney County Live here on 92.7 KZHC. My guest this morning is Harney County Circuit Court Judge Robert Rascio, and we're talking about jury duty. Excuse me. So right before we took a break, you said, you know, 18 to 70. What happens after 70?
Well, 70, you can opt out of jury service just as a matter of age. You're not required to opt out. And I would just note, you know, this is being pre-recorded because some scheduling issues on my part, not the radio station. But today we're on the eve of D-Day, the 80th anniversary of D-Day and that invasion, which liberated Europe and made certain that we live in a free society. And I want to express my gratitude to the veterans of that war, those who, the few who are still with us, and the many who have passed. I was raised, my father had a World War II Victory Medal, so I was raised by that generation, and I am just so grateful to all that they gave to us and the foundation they laid for us for a free society. And so I say that in part to plead to the 70-plus folks. We have a graying population in Harney County. It's clear that our population is getting older and older, and more people are hitting that sweet spot. I would ask you to consider not opting out of jury duty at 70, but actually serving. Your wisdom can certainly be an important part of any jury deliberation and the jury process generally. And so I ask you, I plead really with you to consider if you are in a capacity and capable of serving, to serve. You won't be kicked out because of your age. You will only be allowed to not serve if you choose not to serve. And of course, as we've been talking about, I accommodate people. So if you have medical appointments, if you have some ongoing needs, we'll figure out a way to accommodate that so that we don't place an undue burden on you. But please consider the fact that this is a right under the Constitution's, that it's the first right for an accused person in Oregon under Article 1, Section 11 of the Constitution. And we are so grateful to you if you would consider continuing to serve.
Now, say this: a 70-year-old or a 72-year-old opts out, and they're listening to this, and man, maybe I shouldn't have opted out. Can you opt back in?
Sure, absolutely. Just call us up and opt back in, and we'll get you into the rolls.
That's great to know.
Yeah.
That's great.
Thank you for asking. That's a good question, and I appreciate you asking it.
Well, we're running short on time. I do want to touch base, if we potentially can, in regards to Measure 114. You know, there's been some stuff floating around right now on the internet and stuff, because, you know, everything on the internet's real. a lot of things can be misconstrued. Do you kind of have any sort of understanding or clarification or example, you know, anything
sure.
that you could let us know?
We talked about it briefly before we mm-hmm. got started. I made a decision in ballot measure 114, found it unconstitutional in all regards. That was then, of course, appealed to the Oregon Court of Appeals. The Attorney General's office asked for expedited briefing and an expedited appellate process. That was granted based upon their motion over the objection of the plaintiffs, who were wanting a normal process. Well, it's been filed with the court and appears to be accurate with the Court of Appeals that the AG's office, the Attorney General's office, did not meet the timeline for filing their first appellate briefing. We'll see what the Court of Appeals does with that. They have any number of options, including doing nothing, accepting the late filing, causing them to have some sort of consequence because mm-hmm. of the late filing, but allowing the late filing or dismissing the case. And I think the last is the least likely. I think you're going to see that the litigation continues forward, but it's all guesswork from my perspective. I've made my choices, my decision. I think my decision follows the law and the Oregon Constitution, and that's all I could do.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's complete. So it'll never come back into your court. Is that correct?
That's it's unlikely. I mean, there are some ways it could get back here through questions of fact that the Court of Appeals might want clarified through what they call a remand. It's unlikely that that will happen, but you never know. So I can't say never.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. And I mean, this was a pretty big thing that Harney County stood for. You know, some citizens of Harney County stood up, and this was a hard thing. And how was it a difficult decision for you and kind of being placed in this? Because you live in this county, and here you're fighting, not fighting, listening to everything and trying to make the right decisions. I mean, are you getting kicked back at all from, like, you're being biased because you're part of this county or anything like that?
Well, I mean, guns are a polarizing topic in some parts of the world. I made the decision based upon the Constitution and how it reads, and it reads very clearly. I mean, it's not hard to know what it means when it says you have a right to have a firearm for self-defense. And I followed the law as I mm-hmm. understood it from the Oregon Supreme Court and their most current precedents. As a judge, that's your job. Mm-hmm. I mean, the law could have told me that I had to go the opposite direction, and I would have gone the opposite mm-hmm. direction, because that's what the law requires of me. My judicial philosophy is pretty straightforward. Mm-hmm. As a judge, follow the law.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
If you follow the law, what else can you do?
Exactly.
What else should you do as a judge? You shouldn't mm-hmm. do anything other than that. And so I was more than happy to make the decision, because I think it's the right decision under the law mm-hmm. and under the case law.
Wonderful. And lastly, I know we're going to go over in time for a little bit, but that's okay. It's my show. So
it's your show.
I want to talk about the Oregon Drug Intervention Plan. You know, that whole drug measure 120 has just been
110.
Or sorry, 110.
No
sorry.
Problem. There's so many numbers floating
around.
Oh
my goodness. has been all over the place yeah. in the last few years. And now it has been redone. And will be taking effect in September, I believe it is.
Right. What they've done is they've recriminalized. So they've basically overturned Measure 110 and the will of the voters on that particular issue. I think that people were finding that drug legalization was having a lot of consequences they hadn't really thought through. And certainly the ballooning of the fentanyl crisis after legalization has had a dramatic impact on all communities, including Harney County. It is a serious, deadly drug. And recriminalization has also given me a few things that I can do. And one of the things that I'm going to be doing is, if you're dealing drugs in Harney County, you're not getting out of jail until you've seen me.
And even then, it's going to be a very hard decision for me to make. I just am not tolerant of people dealing drugs in our community. It's just not something that I will tolerate. So we have a new intervention plan. It is complicated, and to say the least, I've given you a chart, which you can consider posting on your website.
Will.
It is, we have things that are happening. The district attorney, Mr. Hughes, along with our sheriff, are working on a deflection program, which is designed for people who are first caught with illegal controlled substances. And I'm not sure, and the plan is still being developed, so I don't want to speak for them. But the deflection plan is basically to get people out of the criminal justice system so they don't come to court. You know, it's clear to me over my 20 plus years of doing, being involved in the criminal justice system as a defender, public defender, and then as a judge, that for many people, the moment the lights come on, the change has happened, right? They decide, oh, this is not good. I should not be in this position. I'm going to make a different choice. And the deflection program, I think, is a good idea to try to capture those people and make sure that those people are filtered out of the criminal justice system. Because having a drug conviction under Oregon law, but most impactfully under federal law, can have serious consequences. For young people, it can mean no college because they can't get any kind of financial aid because of a drug conviction. You could say, well, they shouldn't have done it. Sure, but you know, an 18-year-old not having an opportunity to go to college and make a better choice gets them into a non-pro-social space that isn't good for any of us. And so I am really think it's important to avoid convictions if we can, for young people in particular. It can also impact low-income housing and other federal programming and can displace people. And having a house, having a place to go, creates pro-social behavior. I believe big forms of change in our system come from having a job and having a place to live and having people around you who support you. If you have those three things in place, the chances of you committing more crime is reduced substantially. If you are, in fact, arrested and come to court, we're required to have up to 5 touches on your case before you can be revoked off of probation and sentenced. And there are people who are just not going to make change, and I would rather not have to go through all 5 stages of change before we get to the point where I say, okay, you're going to sit it out. Because I think there are people who just need to sit it out. And there are people who will tell you, I just need to sit it out. I learned that long time ago. I'll never forget the first time I went in and had a guy say, so how much jail time am I facing? I said, well, I was thinking about all these defenses. He's like, no. You go get me the lowest amount of jail time you can get me, and I'm just going to sit it out because I'm not doing any of that. And I said, okay, well, that's your choice. Good for you. And there are people like that. So if you are arrested, you'll come to court and be arraigned. You are then given an opportunity to have a conditional discharge. The court is required to give people a conditional discharge option, which gives them, they have to make a plea, but they aren't given any jail time, and they're allowed to go into treatment for 12 months, and the case is dismissed and the record's immediately sealed if they complete that process. And that process can happen over and over and over again. If they decide not to go into a conditional discharge, they can either enter a plea or go to trial. To be sentenced, they can get up to 18 months, but no jail time, and they have to go to treatment, and there's no fines or fees attached, and it's automatically expunged. If they get a probation violation, they can get up to 30 days of treatment, community service, or jail for a probation violation sanction. And only after you've gone through all of that process, if they haven't done what they need to do, you can revoke their probation and give them up to 180 days in jail with early release into outpatient or inpatient treatment. And so, pretty complicated. From a court perspective, pretty complicated. keeping track of all of that stuff. We'll do it. We've got good clerks. We're going to get the work done effectively. Treatment focused, which I think is fine. Getting people treatment is great. And if they want to engage in it, that's the key. There has to be some desire. I can't force people to do treatment. I can force people into treatment, but I can't force them to do treatment. They have to be ready to make a change.
Exactly. Yeah. So you can send them there, but unless they want to make the change, it's not going to happen.
This all deploys September, and we're just going to see how things go from here. It's a big change. It's not reverting back to what we had before, which was much more criminal justice oriented by the book. This is really a complex legislative web, and the guy who was in charge of sort of creating the policy, I complained to openly at a meeting and said, five touches on a single defendant's case is by statute is really complicated for small courts because we don't have a ton of time. It's just me in two counties. But we're going to do the work, and we're going to make sure to get people, the people we can help get change, we're going to get them change. And the people who aren't going to change are going to face the consequences of their choices. And that's all I can do as your judge.
Yes. Well, we are completely out of time. I really, really appreciate you coming on and talking about the jury duty and all the measures, especially explaining this whole the whole change of Measure 110. I really appreciate that because it's been questioned a lot, people not knowing what it is. So thank you very much.
Well, I really appreciate you giving me an opportunity to come here and encourage people to show up for jury duty.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
And thanks for listening to Harney County Live. Have a wonderful day, and I'll chat with you guys tomorrow.
That's another edition of Harney County Live, every weekday morning on 92.7 KZHZ.
Harney Hospital Foundation and The Palace are partnering up to bring you Paint Your Date Night Thursday, June 6th at 6:30 p.m. at The Palace in downtown Burns. The cost is $50 per couple. This includes two drink tokens and everything you'll need to paint a portrait of your date with help from a local artist, Connie Robbins. Get your ticket to the Harney District Hospital admitting desk. All event proceeds will be used to purchase an AED for the hospital's EMS department. We can't wait to see what you create.
I don't know this number. I'll answer it anyways. Look at how cute that monkey is. No, it's a Prius. Yum. Baked beans. Single ply toilet paper. Just one and we'll all go home. Life is full of bad choices. Don't make choosing the wrong fuel and propane provider one of them. Speak with Ed Staub & Sons today. 573-2622. Ed Staub & Sons. Energy. Community. Service.
Obsidian Dave's Rockin' Gem Show is this weekend, June 7th through the 9th in the Hines City Parks. This event sponsors the Hines Volunteer Fire Department. There will be local and traveling Rockin' Gem vendors as well as food vendors and arts and craft vendors filling our parks for three fun-filled days.
Don't forget about the Hines Fireman's Pancake Breakfast on Saturday, June 8th, starting at 7 a.m. on West Barnes Avenue. Weather permitting, it will be held in the park. Cost is $10 for adults and $5 for children ages 2 to 12. Under 2, kids eat free. Hope to see you there.